This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home in a second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
I love winners. That's what we love on Punter's Postmortem. Want to hear from all the winners. And if you had something you thought was unlucky over the weekend, we'd love to get your thoughts as well. 1353 53. We had fantastic action all over this great country of ours as far as racing was concerned over the weekend, including some drama coming from the wild old west of Perth. That Ascot champion Hong Kong jockey Douglas White has been charged with failing to ride out his mount at the end of the Group 1 Kingston Town. Our panel of experts will all have our say on that. And hats off to Darren Weir, who obviously has had outrageous success at home in Victoria, and now he's bagged a Group 1 over there in Perth with Stratum Star, who just won by the nose over the Douglas White. Misjudge the post, really, on scales of justice. So we'll get your thoughts on that, and there is a steward's inquiry pending. As far as Rosehill Gardens were concerned, some terrific displays and some big, big droughts were broken. It was like a big dam wall at Warragamba got busted. It just flooded in. I don't know what it says about some of the races when you think horses haven't won for 2 years and 555 days and 6,322 days and that, what it says about the opposition. But that's what we saw on the weekend. And well done to James Doyle. Two winners for Godolphin has come out from the UK to take that coveted seat as far as Godolphin is concerned. The two winners, Malice, a really good ride around that $7.30 mark, has now won over $500,000, by the way. That was from last to first. And then the two-year-old looked pretty good for Godolphin in Trekking, who won the first. And also then down in Melbourne, we had the standalone Pakenham meeting in the Pakenham Cup. And it was Craig Williams to the fore with four winners and David Hayes doing an outstanding job. You've got to say that his stable is firing on all cylinders. A man who's mostly firing on all cylinders is Ronnie Duffersey. G'day, Ronnie.
Yeah, g'day, TK. It was an interesting day at Rosehill Gardens Saturday. It was quite a good off-season meeting. And, well, the talk of the town was Perth. You know, Dougie's known as the Durban Demon, but he left the Durban Devil out of Perth there on Saturday. But, look, that's an interesting one. You know, a lot of people have got a different opinion on whether it would have won or whether it would not have won. But I suppose that's all subjective.
There's no doubt. We'll get your views. 1353-53. Obviously, if you back the winner, that being Stratum Star, you wouldn't have too much concern about what Douglas White did. But if you're on scales of justice, you'd be seeing it completely different because, like everybody, we all talk through our pocket. Good morning to Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Good morning to Ronnie. Those sort of situations, TK, when it's a horse that's hard in the market like Scales of Justice was, it tends to be a lot more prevalent in what's going on. If it was a 100-to-1 chance that got nabbed on the line by the favourite,
correct,
it'd be, oh, well, favourite was too good.
We'd all be cheering.
Yeah.
Mm. I've got no doubt, and I'm not talking about anything being sinister here, I got no doubt he did get it wrong. We'll get the thoughts of our Melbourne expert, Dean Lester, who is the voice of reason in the racing world when it comes to these emotive issues, because he has this great knack of just putting punting to the side. Well, sometimes. Hello, Dean Lester.
Hello, TK.
Well, we may as well kick off with it, mate, before we get to your standalone Pakenham meeting. What do you think of it?
Well, I think the modern jockeys sort of prepare themselves to throw themselves right at the line like an athlete. I think Dougie did his little, you know, lunge at the line three strides too early. And that's why not only did he stop, but he actually had to try and get rhythm again. So I think he just misjudged where the line was.
I think you're right. And White, by the way, has pleaded not guilty to the charge, saying he resorted to hands and heels riding to coax the horse to the line.
Except for when he tried to throw the whip at it the last stride when he realised what had happened.
Exactly.
He tried to hit it anywhere it had fur.
He's got that one wrong. You know, like he dead set misjudged the post. And whether it cost it the horse the race, I doubt it, but I'm not sure.
I think the horse was giving its very, very best.
I just reckon it was coming up out of stride because he'd done that lunge at the line. It's very subjective.
He actually smiled astride before the post. He had a look and smiled thinking he'd won the race, honestly.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Ronnie.
Yeah.
And he's done when I say he's done a fair bit of riding, Glenn, at Ascot, you know, it wasn't like it's his first trip there.
Well, he had ridden two Group 1 winners there previously.
He's made little trips
there a lot for Magic Millions and things.
Yeah, you know, he obviously enjoys, they enjoy having him. He enjoys going there.
They enjoyed having him.
Well, thank you. Yeah, past tense.
They'll be having him on a barbecue. If they can get him
there again. He got it wrong. And I remember I asked one of the overseas jockeys regarding Flemington about the line and how hard it is to judge where the line is, and I got a bit of ridicule about it, but it just struck me that...
Well, Flemington's is a terrible winning post.
Well, that's the other thing, with all the I was going to say, the vegetation that's growing over there.
It's just square. There's no real up to it. Like, at least the Ascot's got the big A in the middle of it, which means that's the actual point of the winning post.
Yeah. Well, Dino, what I'm saying, right, is that... You know, they ride all around the world. And, these horses, these massive races are decided by, less than a nostril, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, just that second nature about knowing where the winning post is in a really close finish must be more a comfort if you're used to riding where it is.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, there's no doubt. And you got it wrong, but now it's been adjourned, so we'll see what happens.
All right.
I wouldn't be signing him up to ride in a Canberra Cup with that winning post. He'll be in all sorts of trouble.
he might be in front of the Senate and drop his hands, and by the time he gets to the House of Representatives, he's beaten.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And the other fact of the matter is, with all the new security and the measures being put in down there at Parliament House in Canberra, they might have to change the entire structure. You might even not be able to get to the winning post in Canberra.
They should just have a line of security guards before the winning post.
Yeah, and as I said, I didn't back Scales of Justice, right? So we can discuss it freely. But if you did, I don't think you're probably seeing the funny side of it at this stage. 13:53:53. So we just simply await the outcome of that, but we'll take your thoughts. And saying all that, Dino, terrific training performance by Darren Weir again. We talk about it so often in Victoria, but interesting that he got over there. I think it might have been on the Sunday or the Monday. He had a look at, this is, you know, what I heard Darren say, he had a quick look at Stratum Star and thought, you know what, I think he needs a good gallop. He gave it a trial, I think, on the Monday, which was a double trial leading up to this, and it paid a handsome dividend.
Yeah, well, he trialled the week before, and I think he was a guest of the club last Saturday.
Yep.
And that's when he saw the horse and said, no, he needs another trial. Yeah. So he banged another trial in him at Lark Hill last Monday. And, he's got the prize. He's just got to get a winner in Sydney. I mean, he's had great success in Queensland through the Magic Millions last year and just with little pinch hitters going up there. And he's obviously dominant in Melbourne. He's won, I think, three or four Hobart Cups. He's a great traveller everywhere bar Sydney at this stage.
Yeah, look, I just think that's a freak thing. He's a master trainer. It takes a great eye to go over there and see the horse. You know, he hadn't seen the horse for a couple of weeks and he's identified the horse as too fat. Obviously, I'd say Darren would be a man that does a lot of treadmill work, so that's hard work on horses. And that horse had gone over to Perth and had a picnic. He was on holidays.
Yeah.
So Darren identified that, and it was a great piece of training. So we keep forgetting it. Look, how many Group 1 winners has Darren Weir trained this season? It's just behind Waller. I think someone said yesterday to me it was 6-6 or something.
Yeah. He's won... Yeah, he'd be up to five or six. Yeah.
So we keep forgetting, you know, he's right up there with the leading Group 1 trainer this season as well.
I read somewhere yesterday he's got 50% more horses on his books than Chris Waller. He's got 500 horses on his books, Darren Weir. How do you keep track of them?
Well, he does. He copes. He keeps the men around him.
I think Chris admits to 300.
I think Chris was 370. 370 and Darren Weir was, you know, 500 and something.
Right, you know, and those horses are all ready. When they come into the stable, they are ready to go in all those big stables now.
It's a bit different because he's got such a vast sort of training setup, Darren Weir, the Ballarat and also the Warrnambool setup, where he's got two or three stables down there, which have different sort of uses. So, you know, you like at the moment I've got an unraced filly that's barely going even time, and she's in the main stable at Ballarat, so she gets Darren sees her every day. So it's, it's amazing the different parts of the system they go through.
What's going on with the beaches down at Warrnambool, Dino? Have they moved?
Yeah, they moved to Port Fairy Beach, which is a...
Don't you have to pay now to use the...
No, you've got to get a permit.
Permit.
Yeah, well, you do have to pay, but yeah, they only allocated 50 permits to the trainers, so like he could have used 50 a day in the prime time there at Lady Bay, which is right in the heart of Warrnambool, but that's closed always for summer for the holiday goers. But Port Fairy Beach has been open for them for the 3 months while Lady Bay is closed, and it's probably 20 minutes extra trip, and there's 50 permits allocated amongst the trainers. So he'll have to change what he does over the next 3 months with those horses. And the biggest feature that he was using in Warrnambool was the sand dune area, and that's still up in the air whether that'll be able to be used in the new year.
A little bit of a horse heaven, although I don't know anybody who actually enjoys going up the sand dunes, and if you do, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Lindsay Smith, strangely enough, Glenn, it was Darren actually paying tribute to Lindsay Smith, who was able to use all his facilities, and he knocked off Lindsay quite clearly with Scales of Justice, or Stratum Star knocking off Scales of Justice.
Yeah, and at least Darren, I think he kicked in 5,000 or something on the bar.
On the bar, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He put 5,000 over the bar.
Mm. Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, he drank the first 45.
You want him to win? You really want him to win in Sydney pretty soon, don't you, TK?
Yeah, oh, very much so. I'll be right there. Don't worry. I've always said you could train winners in Sydney.
Yes.
Look, he's only had 13 goes, hasn't he?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's up to about 15 runners now in Sydney.
All right. Okay. And just on that, I haven't been able to get the reaction of Lindsay Smith, the trainer, to the ride of Douglas White. We've given our reaction, but I don't know if Lindsay
was...
they're
supporting him. They're supporting him at this stage.
So he's not filthy on him.
Well, if Douglas has pleaded not guilty and he's waiting for their evidence, they must be on his side.
Right. Okay, so they fine in favour of Douglas White. They're 13.53.53. Ronnie, you mentioned Rosehill Gardens. We saw some really good racing. We saw some pretty good performances. And I mentioned at the top of the program, we did see a couple of horses break some significant droughts. When we talk about a horse like Curo coming out winning the Starlight Stakes after 573 days, and then Malice also getting up on the inside and winning after being out of the winning for 2 years, what does that say?
Well, it says it was their day in the sun. You forgot about Redoubtable Heart, who's about 800 days.
You know what? It tells you a couple of things. One is how hard it is to win a race.
Exactly.
You know, which is, I don't care whether you're at Rosehill Gardens, Flemington, Kembla, Dubbo, wherever you are. It's just so hard to win a race. But everyone, you can have your day if you keep plugging away.
Yeah, for sure. Look, obviously, Redoubtable Heart had well over a year off with injuries, and he'd raced at the top level, and Kuro's likewise. He hit that level where he had to meet the top grade, and his two runs back were great, running second in both of them. So he was on target for that win, and the market didn't disregard any of those horses. They've found the right race at the right time, and like I said, they're all under double-figure odds. There's no doubt about it.
And they were mostly well back late as well, Glenn.
Well, Kuro's one of those popular horses. He went up 8, was 9.50 on Friday, opened 10 on Saturday, and I think he ran single figures and was the market mover in that race there. Malice was around 11.10. I think he might have run $7.50 or close to it.
Yep.
And congratulations to the boys in the last. They stuck fat to their opinion in the last race. Ronnie chastised them on Saturday morning for had the audacity to put up Redoubtable Heart as favourite. But they sort of gave it the teddy bear treatment all the way through and never really pushed it out. It opened second pick on track and got out very, very quickly. Well, they didn't chase it out because, evidently they thought it was the horse that was, you know, going to be the one to beat and therefore didn't chase the market out and had a very, very good result on it.
I want to just deal with, if I can, with the Starlight Stakes firstly. Curo, we've sort of chatted about, which is a terrific training performance and a good ride too by Jay Ford. I thought Nyetta was more than gallant, Ronnie. In defeat, sat wide, never got in, never got cover, and was entitled, I thought, to drop out, but stuck on and only got beaten, what, three quarters?
Yeah, one of the runs of the day, considering the circumstances.
Really tough run.
She was up, what, she up three or four grades there.
Yep.
She's a good mare on the up, and they threw her in the deep end there. They got their black type with her. I think even Dominic Byrne, interviewed on Saturday morning, said her true rating weight in that race was 45.5 kilos.
Yeah.
To her rating base. So she's really jumped a few bars there, and you could make a little case that she could have nearly won that race with better cover, and if things unfolded for her perfectly like they did for the winner. So don't knock her on that performance. It was an excellent run. Prince Famous, it's two good runs from him now. He's the horse that has come back with that tie-back operation. Seems to have worked well with him. Of the others, there was no real hard luck stories outside that lot. But Kuro got the run, and I thought Nieta was gallant in defeat.
Yeah, very much so. Are they tipping her out, or is she continuing?
Well, you would think...
It's been a really good campaign. Yeah,
well, there's probably the razor sharp in a fortnight, right. But would they want to really mess with her rating now that she's got the black type? There's some nice mares races that she could probably win early autumn.
Yep, and that was a tough run too.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
James Doyle with a winning double. Malice, good ride. Punters came for Malice as well, mate. They got more faith, Glenn, than I had. Ed Malice?
Well, TK, his form realistically wasn't that bad in title.
No. It's won over 500,000 in prize money, so it shows you the horse has got plenty of ability and has been racing at the top level, close enough to it.
You talk about the fact he hadn't won for a long while. He hadn't won for 2 years, and his last win was in this race 2 years ago.
Mm.
So it was interesting to hear, John O'Shea said he does like racing here, but this was a listed race on Saturday, and his four runs before a spell were sort of group listed, group three listed.
Yeah.
One run back from a spell in a listed race at Hawkesbury, and then ran fifth in the new Tipperary race the other day, which eight of the runners in that race on Saturday came out of.
Mm.
So you'd have to think it was going to provide the winner. The new kids on the block there were Not a Gypsy and Lady Lafay coming, and Mighty Lucky. I think they were the three that sort of didn't run in the new Tipperary race, and then those down the bottom, Reby the Red and the Bull. So, and he'd started a $6 chance in that new Tipperary race and was second run back from a spell. So, it wasn't a complete shock to see him figure in the finish.
There's nothing between all these 2,000-metre Christmas stayers. So it's like they're all having their turn. It all comes down to timing and runs in the race as they're getting. So there's no real standout stayer emerging. There's a pack of them.
I'll tell you what we have had in the staying races here in Sydney recently is speed.
Yeah.
And Malice and Beyond Thankful both came from well back in the race the other day. It was the same as the previous week when the horse of Chris's that had been travelling up on the pace went back in a fast run race and came from last to win.
Mm. And it also shows up, obviously it was off the fence again there on Saturday. In these staying races, just because it's off the fence doesn't mean you've got to travel three and four wide all the way. It's most important that you save ground.
Yep.
And I would have thought first, second, fourth, all got that run through on the inside. And then all you had to be was three off the fence, and that's where they angled. So they did have favours as far as that situation was concerned.
I'll tell you what, not only is he a good jockey, James Doyle, but he's also an intelligent one because he's been taking some advice about how to ride these tracks from Darren Beedman. And I think if you're going to be listening to anybody,
Why wouldn't you?
You want to be listening to Darren Beedman, and you'd be taking his advice on board. And I'm sure now James will be seeking Darren out everywhere he goes to find out the nuances of riding these tracks. And also riding these horses. I want to get to some other runners here, mate, in race 7, the ATC Cup, and we'll get to Dino again with Pakenham, and we'll talk at length about that because there were some good performances down there as well. But Beyond Thankful, Iggy Pop, All OK, Destiny's Kiss was sort of specced a little bit. What did you make of Falkenberg? And Lady Lafay didn't have a great deal of luck, but is she going as well as she was last prep?
Falkenberg was disappointing. I thought she had a nice enough run, and she was presented at the right time, and she was on a quicker backup.
Didn't come on.
And she didn't really finish off, did she? Lady De Faye ran into a terrible dead end at a vital stage of that race, but is there upside to her? She's already been to another carnival, and this was looked like a last sort of throw at the stumps.
Yeah.
And although she ran well, there's no upside. I was hot on Closing Bell here. I really thought he was one of the better bets of the day. He was awful. In the run, he travelled like the winner, and then they sprinted, and he just turned it up.
He was last.
Yeah, so...
That's the American import.
Yeah, I just got him totally wrong there.
I think you're going to have to see him do something before you want to jump back on board.
Well, after that, yes.
He was the flop of the day, wasn't he?
Oh, well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you speak through your pocket, he was the flop of the day.
Yeah, and then the eighth we had, well, back to the two-year-old, you know, often this debate, have we seen the slipper winner yet? You know, facts and figures and the statistics say that we have seen the slipper winner, particularly if you take on recent years. Obviously, Trekking, there's a long way to go, but Trekking, it won well. It was a hot pot and won like a hot pot.
Yeah, he's quite a nice horse. I think they got a good opinion of him. Trying to read between the lines, I think they're a bit worried about his attitude. Listening to Johnny, he had the muffs on parading and all eyes were on him, so he must be a devil at home.
Right.
And I think he's been kept from gelding probably because he's a street cry colt and there's no more of them left. And to get these street cries to the races, obviously he's a champion stallion, at 2 years of age before Christmas, there's only upside. I like him a lot, and I like the third horse even more.
Galatius?
Galoy.
Yeah.
They trialled together, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Trekking had more of it.
A dash, but...
Yeah, and the other horse
they're both nice horses.
Yeah, really, really nice horses.
Mm. Does the stable have an opinion there yet, do you know?
Well, I think John says, well, he put this horse straight out for the autumn. That means they're going to give him a slipper campaign,
yep.
And hopefully he can cope with it with his attitude. And one thing I did pick up, he did say, well, he's our Guineas horse, Galoy. Guineas is a pretty good race, so the Caulfield Guineas.
Yeah, very much so.
So I would say he is held in high regard.
Stallion-making race.
And I hope all our customers appreciated the early Christmas present on Saturday about the $3 for James Doyle to ride a winner on the program. At that stage, Trekking was a $2.80 chance in the first race. Nick Ashman had been tipping it for 3 days. It ran $1.80 Trekking. And you could have had $3 about James
Doyle
riding one winner.
You're only there to help, Glenn.
Just give a leg of the turkey back that you
take
off.
You're only there
them.
To help.
Yeah, well, that's all we're there for.
And somehow we open up again today.
And TK, it's not a crime to back a winner.
No, it's not. No. Everyone's listening. Glenn Munsey, Ronnie Duffacy, and Dean Lester. Dean over the Pakenham Cup. Squagadelic, a major flop there, which was a little bit of a shock. Well, it was a shock to me. It was good hype before it, but it looked to be a fairly successful day.
Yeah, no, it was a successful day. With Squagadelic, he pulled up lame and he had all sorts of problems.
Okay.
He had a really off day. Maybe you backing him didn't help him. But he had an off day. But no, Pillow Desire, I mean, he was... bit of a gunner through the spring, but maybe he was just running over too short a distance since he's been lengthened out. 2,200 of the Ballarat Cup, 2,500 on Saturday. He's just been able to control races and absolutely dominate. So, no, he's going very well indeed.
Mate, he looked really good. He's got the cups double. It's not the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup. It is the Ballarat Cup, the Pakenham Cup. But you're right, maybe he's just, 2,400 plus.
Well, Hayes... Sorry, Dino. Ben Hayes was on Saturday morning.
Yes.
On Tab Talk, and he sounded very, very confident about the fact the horse was stepping up in distance because they've thought he was a natural leader and he hadn't been able to control the race over the shorter distances. He showed at Ballarat by going forward and being in front. Well, they turned for home the other day and he looked as though he was going to run eighth.
Yeah.
And they'd sort of got a second wind again, ran all over the track and went away from them.
Yep, he did all of that, and he was far too good. That was a weaker race Saturday than the Ballarat Cup. The weight showed you that. He'd have gone up 2 kilos for winning the Ballarat Cup, but he actually went up 4, so it was a weaker race. But
he was good.
He was really good.
Yeah.
And he was touted as a bit of a spring contender, but obviously in the wrong distance range. So maybe in the autumn Australian Cup or something like that, they might have a crack at.
But what about Pacino? Just wasn't happy with the pace. Took off, with a... whipped around him with 1,000 to go.
He did. He
stuck on well.
He's going really well, that horse.
Stuck on really well.
Yeah, he's had a few different stables over the years, but Wayne Walters has got him going well at the moment. And I don't know any wins, but he's going very well.
David Hayes thought Mahaney was the best of the day, and he was right. It was around that $2.50 mark. It was a bit of an iron horse as well. He's been in work a long time, but David was saying that when he's got the older horses. In work a long time and they're winning or racing well, he wants to keep them going.
Yeah, well, he's a great example of it. Mahaney, he's just been going and going, and He's been a terrific horse for the second lot of connection. He was originally a Shadwell horse for Sheikh Hamdan, and he's for the new connections, he's really kicked on, and he's a good, tough horse. And the thing about Saturday was Regan Bayless had a lot of success on Kenjawood, and he was on Mahaney, so he probably knew how to beat Kenjawood, and it was Ben Allen felt for the three-card trick there and just sat behind Mahaney. He should have been up eyeballing him and trying to out-tough him.
Right.
And then when Mahaney sprinted, he's got a better sprint than Kenjawood. He just left him behind. So I think very smart riding there by Regan Bayless, and Ben Allen will learn something from that, I think.
Yeah, it was a soft win and a very, very good win. But that's about the level, isn't it, for Mahaney?
Yeah, off-season handicaps. Yeah. He might get to a Country Cup level. But
I think he's going to the Lord States.
Yeah, well, that's ideal. That's the next progression. Boxing Day, 1700, Caulfield, where he can lead. He'll give them something to chase.
And Dino, Craig Williams with the four winners.
He just put on an absolute clinic through the day. Mm. He rode beautifully, and probably, I think, the last winner was the best of them, Gallic Chieftain. That was a very fast race, and he absolutely toyed with them late. And he's an imported stayer that might, when Craig Williams was coming back in the post-race interview, he said, oh, well, he's a stakes horse. Well, he's still only about a 77 rater. So if he's a stakes horse, he's got about four wins before he even has to worry about stakes level.
Okay.
So he's well worth following over the next few weeks.
All right, that's one. And Craig's a good judge, He's
very good judge. Well, he just doesn't go out there and say that.
No, he's a good judge, isn't he? He sums things up really well.
And thanks, everyone, too.
Yeah, thanks.
Doesn't leave many out.
No. I'll tell you what, Friday night.
Yeah, if you get left out, you're in trouble.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Let's get
to the open line, 13:53:53. Always good with his time. And I'm not saying he's a good judge just because of that, but he gives our punters a really good insight and a summation of races, hello, Tony. Good morning to you.
G'day there. I just wanted to know about a couple of stallions I'm having a bit of success with. One is Wanted and the other is Doomsday. I backed one on Sunday week at 67-1, so I'm still punting with the money on that. And could you tell me what the breeding of Wanted and Doomsday is? And who, I think Hawksy tried one of them. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, Peter Moody had Wanted and Hawksy had Doomsday. Yeah,
exactly. So,
sorry?
Look, I'm just a battler. Breeding's all lost upon me. But
this is where Duff comes to the fore.
Ronnie's a bit of a toff. Ronnie's a toff. He knocks Duff around the yearling sales.
That's it.
Ronnie?
Yeah, well, Peter Moody had Wanted. Look, they've been serving a good few seasons now.
Doomsday's been around a long time.
Yeah, so they haven't been, really, really successful stallions, Tony, but they're still throwing out winners here and there. Look, I wouldn't think they're the horses that get full books of mares in the modern day. So look, they'd be just battling sort of stallions, I would say.
Yeah, I was happy to get 67-1 to one winner. I'm still punting with the money on that one.
Good one, good on you.
I Wanted horse. I raced in Melbourne on Sunday week, and I can't think of his name. It was what I Wanted.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I just can't think what it was.
Yeah. Mate. So did
I think nine winners in 7 days for Doomsday.
Doomsday's going well, isn't he?
Nine winners in 7 days for Doomsday. Tara Madgwick with the report on BreedNet. So you can go to that website, Tony, to help you.
Yeah,
BreedNet.com.au.
I can't do the website, sorry.
Oh, can't you? Okay. But it's a really good source. Or we'll go to your mate's house and get him to log on, or your special friend's house. I'm sure you might have one. And
did Hawksy train one of them? Do you know that?
He trained Doomsday. Okay.
I'm sure he did.
Peter Moody had Wanted him. Did he win a Newmarket?
Yeah, he won the Newmarket.
Was he a wet tracker?
It was the day of that big storm.
I'm sure he was a wet tracker.
He won the Newmarket and then he ran in
the... Oh, he loved the wet.
Yeah.
He was by Fastnet Rock.
He was.
He was originally trained by John O'Shea. Wanted?
Wanted was, yeah.
Yeah, it was owned by Eddie Hasten.
Yeah.
Wanted loves a wet track as well.
Yeah. Wanted. That was well named.
Wanted.
Okay, you said
when you asked for a buck,
Good on you, Tony.
Thanks for
good to hear from you. Dino, I just wanted to chat about the Pakenham Cup. That's another one of your standalones. So who do you... We've only got We've already got Scone and we have Hawkesbury in New South Wales with our standalones. You're now out to three, aren't you?
Pakenham Saturday, Mornington Cup,
yep.
Bendigo Golden Mile.
Three.
Yeah, I think that's it. And Ballarat, four.
And can you see a couple more creeping in? It's a good time of year to have them, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're the time to have them. Wouldn't mind seeing a couple in June where we can rest the winter tracks a little bit.
Yep.
Somewhere where they would get a good response to it. So, I think we've just about got our fill of them.
Four. And Pakenham's a good setup. It looked to be successful.
Pakenham's an amazing setup.
Yeah.
One, the track's very good. Look, right on the fence, they've got a little problem. You can't win. You just can't seem, when the rail's true, can't seem to win hard on the fence. You can lead and win. Mahoney proved that. Others proved that. But you have to be off the rail. That's the little problem with the track.
Well, they're not on their Pat Malone there.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, all tracks have their little nuances, don't they?
And maybe in time they'll move the rail 1 metre and that'll become the new true, like they did at Moonee Valley 20 years ago.
So if Pakenham's gathering all this sort of steam,
yep.
Where's the future of a track like Sandown?
At Pakenham,
right.
Pakenham will...
Is that the push or is that the thought pattern?
That's the thought pattern. Yeah. There's a lot of land that's being sold. I think they've sold two stages of land development around the track at Pakenham. David Hayes has bought two blocks out there.
Okay.
There's going to be... it's a reasonable training hub now, but there's still two more tracks to go in, swimming pools, etc. In 10 years, it'll be where I think if Mick Price, those sort of trainers want to train, that's where they'll be training.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's you build it and they will come.
Yep, exactly.
And the old Fields of Dream.
Kevin Costner. And it was all, there's one fella out there that's the CEO out there, Michael Hodge. It's all his doing. It was all his
good stuff.
All his dreams 10 years ago when the Pakenham track was just too small and not catering for, for enough meetings and wasn't wanted. And he did all the development and all the dollars and cents. And RVL came in at the last bit and helped him out for a little bit. But I would say 95% of the work was done. And he took me out to this paddock that where it is now in 2007 and said, I'm going to put this track here and this will be here. And I just thought, well, this bloke's totally dreaming.
Yeah. And, it's at Tynong or somewhere, isn't it?
Well, it's between two little towns called Narnagoon and Tynong. And it's about 10 minutes out of Pakenham.
How far from Melbourne?
An hour.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. So it's got some legs. And I know he came up with that idea after watching Kevin Costner in Fields of Dream.
No doubt.
Yeah, everything's an hour from Melbourne. Yeah. Moonee Valley's an hour from Melbourne on a Friday.
Pakenham might be 3 hours on a Friday night.
Yeah, that's welcome to our problem we have in Sydney. Good morning, boys. Would like to know if Tab Fixed Odds lays off with the paramutual side of the Tab.
No. Next question.
Okay. Tiger Marty. There you go.
What about substitutes and quaddies?
Don't go there.
Deductions.
And why only 24 runners in the Melbourne Cup?
That's right.
When are you going on holidays, Dean?
Mind you, I still have never got a satisfactory answer to the half price.
It's not half to double. That's the thing. There is a sliding scale depending on the horse in the second leg.
Don't go there.
It can be as little as 10%.
All right. Good morning, TK, Ronnie, Dino, Glenn. I reckon Destiny's Kiss is going well. He just needs a wet track in the next couple of starts, and I think he will get a great chance of winning. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil from Dubbo. What are your thoughts, Ronnie?
Yeah, well, I know Joe said Saturday, he said, I reckon I got this horse going as well as ever, and he was 40-1 and... You know, he ran on strongly.
He was okay, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he just missed the place. He was.
Yeah.
He ran fourth, and I think the person there is right because, if he gets a wet track, he can grow a leg.
All right. We got a couple of sprinkles this morning, but it's like waking up in California at the moment.
Yeah.
It's like just no sign, although there is some rain predicted for this week. Hi, fellas. Just want to know how the jockeys are after that bad race fall at Kilcoy. I think it was bad. I haven't heard any more. Thanks, Tony. It was a terrible-looking fall, Ronnie.
I missed it. I've read about it, but I know people that saw it happen.
Now, one of the boys rode a winner yesterday.
Okay, yeah, but they say it was very nasty. And, the horse slipped.
It broke a leg, unfortunately. Yeah.
And Jordan, that caused the mayhem at the...
That was Jordan Mallion was on it, and he was on Melbourne Radio this morning, and he's got a bit of concussion. He's got bruising around an eye, and he's got to see the doctor today. But considering he was the first one that fell,
yeah,
a very, very lucky boy.
Let's get to the open line and say hello to Ray. G'day, Ray.
G'day, TK. I just wanted to mention about the jockey of Stratum Star. Have we overlooked the fact that he outrode David White?
Douglas White?
Douglas White, rather.
No.
He was magnificent, Damien Lane.
I think
he rode the horse perfectly.
Yeah, as he always does, doesn't he, Dino?
He's only a young man, too. He's very good. It would have been very satisfying to go back home and ride the Group 1 winner.
Mm. Yeah. And did he go back to Hong Kong after that? Because he's in Hong Kong at the moment, Damien Lane.
Yeah.
He would have probably explained to Douglas on the plane back to Hong Kong what actually happened and everything like that.
No, Ray, I think you bring up a good point. I mean, whenever you have a bet and you see Damien Lane on board, you can bet with confidence. He's one of those jockeys that continues to deliver in a, Ray, I reckon, in a really understated way.
He comes from over there, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so I just thought, well, you know, one's got it exactly right and one's maybe just missed the beat.
Well, you could say one knows where the winning post is and one doesn't.
Anyway, that was it. Happy with that.
Good point, mate. And often we do it, Ronnie. Yeah. We overlook the bleat and obvious.
Well, you know, it wasn't hard to outride him. He had barrier one and Dougie had barrier 16.
Jeez, it's hard to get a rap off you.
The second horse was very, very, he's a very good horse.
Scales of Justice. Yeah.
Very good horse.
Which is good. I think most of those jockeys have avoided serious injury from up there in Kilcoy, which is quite remarkable. And we often say it, and I take no delight from it, the most innocuous falls can often be
the worst
consequences. And the really horrendous falls you can see, Ronnie, you know, they all get up and I don't know how, geez, they're tough. They just get up, wipe themselves down and off they go.
Yeah, they're a tough breed.
There is no doubt. Hi, Sam. Good morning to you, Sam.
Yes, good morning, everybody. How are you all?
Well, thanks.
That's good. You all do a fantastic job. I've rung many times and say that you all do a fabulous job. One little problem on Friday night, tried to, and Glenn, maybe you might be able to help. After 9:30, quarter to 10, there's no one's there to answer your phone other than a voice person, like a...
Right. I'll get you Glenn's mobile. It'll be fine.
and you try to put a bet on the Inter the Million, which is it worth a bit of money these days? A million and a quarter?
Fortune.
Million point one? Yep. 1.1? And you couldn't put a bet on it. Kept on telling you, do you want Bendigo Trots? I said, no.
Do you have a mobile phone?
Yes, I do.
Do you have downloaded the Tab app?
I have.
Well, you can bet through the Tab app on your mobile phone. You don't have to talk to anyone.
I understand, but what have you got to put 40 bets on?
Punch the thing in 40 times.
There's not 40 races jumping within a minute of each other.
Sure, I understand, but... For the voice person to say, oh, no such thing, Gloucester Park Trots Race 6 or Race 7. He said, do you want Bendigo Trots? I said, no. It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
And everyone goes home at 9:30 there, at the tab, all the operators. So anyway, but apart from that, you all do a fabulous job.
No.
Dean and Ron.
Good on you,
fantastic.
Sam. What? Good on you, mate. Well done. Well done, Sam. I'll have a chat to the bosses. I see no reason why Glenn can't be rostered on.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Probably between
9:30 and 9:32, I was busy.
I see no reason you can't. Take the after hours calls.
Yeah. You're not busy.
No, there's nothing much on. Yeah. Now, if you would like my number, I'll just bring it up for you. I know it's 075.
I can tell you what, you used to give it out freely when you're in the 20s.
Congratulations to the girls. They rode the program at Cooma on Saturday. There was only two male jockeys at the whole meeting. And they were Giovanni Castillo and Michael Hegney. They couldn't ride a winner. But Kalina Bone, she's a 4-kilo apprentice. She's apprenticed to Nick Olive. Rode a first winner for Tony Sergi. Carly Frader, Rachel Hunt rode two winners, Melinda Kinney and Shelley Walsh. So the girls rode the program at Cooma on Saturday for Cooma Cup Day.
Good
not a bad effort.
No, it isn't. Just on great riding efforts. What about this Jeff Lloyd, Ronnie? He rode three more winners. He's now got 71 winners in the state of Queensland, 57 in that metro area. So
and four. I think he rode four Saturday.
Oh, four, was
it? Four.
I got three. Okay, four winners on Saturday. Well, there you go. He's now got 72 winners.
He's 55 years of age. Why did you retire, Ronnie?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, you could still be punching him around there with 94 kilos.
He's
at Cooma.
Yeah,
could have
got a ride on
a Cooma. No, it's a story in itself.
It's a great story.
Jeff Lloyd's story. He's just must love his work. He just must love just being riding his horses.
He's got a 25% strike rate overall.
Oh, jeez.
And in the metropolitan area, he's got a 26% strike rate, having ridden 56 winners.
That's incredible. That's
Wednesday
nearly one
was
in
an
four.
Extraordinary effort.
Oh, 7 from 12, yeah.
7 from 12, yeah. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he won the Jockeys Challenge that day, funnily.
Yeah,
did he really?
It was 7 of the last 8, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think it was, yeah.
Probably
7.
Got there late to give everyone else a chance.
And if you're wondering why we're marvelling at Jeff Lloyd, if you didn't know, he did have a stroke.
Yeah.
And he's made it not only back to riding, but I think he's riding in career best form, which is saying something for a bloke who's ridden winners all over the world. Let's go back to the open line for a final time. Hi, Kev. Good morning.
Hey, boys. I was wondering if there's anything stallions could be given, like 24 hours before race day, to stop it being, like, frisky.
No, you're not allowed to use any treatment, race day treatment.
Not on race day, but what about 24 hours before?
No, you know, one clear day.
Yeah. I think you've got to sleep them all 2 days before, haven't
well,
you?
Well, it's called one clear day rule, I think, and so it's from Friday morning. But I think that's why we're seeing more and more horses using, like, earmuffs and things like that. They're trying to use other different aids to try and keep horses as calm as they can.
Kev?
Yeah?
My idea would be probably marriage.
That wouldn't work, mate. only half of them work, mate.
Yeah, but it...
That could take the friskiness away.
The friskiness away.
Then again, that's maybe only half of them work.
What would you like to give him, a Mogadon or something?
I don't want that.
Jeez, more people are looking for the opposite. Good on you, Kev. Thanks for your thought-provoking call. One to follow, if we can. Firstly, from Dino.
I mentioned it before, Gaelic Chieftain. He's got a lot of room to move that horse. Just he'll keep winning.
Okay, and that's Gaelic Chieftain. That was the winner of the last race 9 down there. Craig Williams giving it a massive rap after the going past the finishing post. What about you, Duff? What have you sorted out?
Look, the Villiers is going to be a competitive race.
2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's not easy to win, but I just love the way he's going to present there, Pajaro.
Oh, did he go good Saturday?
Yeah.
His two runs have been...
just nice.
Two runs have been really good.
And he's a proven third. Like, I think he won the Scone Cup third up last prep. He's not a noted second up performer.
No.
They've had, I just love targets, and especially targets from Snowden Yards, and they've been open, you know. We just want him right third up, and I think they're going to get it right.
He weaved through the middle, didn't he, in the Scone Cup?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was a...
bless his heart.
And Glenn Munsey?
I wouldn't sack Cawthon's Power in the last. He just over-raced in the first half of that race there. He was second up on Saturday. Another run, I think he'd be able to control the race shortly. And, you know, that was only a benchmark 85 on Saturday. It wasn't a bad benchmark, really, with Redoutable Heart and Surplus and Duke of Valentinois in the race. So I think there's not a win too far away for Cawthon's Power.
Now, I think it's probably fair to say there's no other stable in Victoria going as good as the Hayes stable currently, Dino, although Weir always goes well. But yeah. This Friday, I think, Black Caviar.
Ossietra.
Ossietra.
Yep.
It trials.
Has a jump out at Flemington, I believe. Yep. Yeah. Luke Nolan went up last Monday and rode a work at Euroa for the first time, so that combination will continue.
And you gave it thumbs up?
Thumbs up, very much so.
Surely be live on every TV network, amount of publicity.
Well, get set for not as good as its mother, not as good as its mother.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
No.
I think, I think they were going to try and sneak it through the first trial, but they...
I think you've got to be open to it. There's no point.
No,
David knows how to work the media.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, like...
might need time. It's a little bit behind.
He knows.
Well, Black Caviar didn't win till April of her two-year-old year because she wasn't ready. So this is Philly's trialling a lot earlier than Black Caviar did.
Yeah, so, he'll handle it all. There's
which
no doubt
this,
about that.
Which one's this one by? What's this one by?
Exceed and Excel.
Exceed and Excel, okay.
And the reports have been good, so they'll be all eyes. And you're right, Glenn, I think this is, it's one of those stories that cuts across the sporting racing, media into racing media to the sporting media, then further, even broader than that, and will certainly be making the general media as well. And look, I, for the sake of racing, I hope it's a success. Be wonderful to be tracking, giving any people any reason to be following horses is a wonderful thing. So I look forward to it.
It's it's certainly already been on the news down here, and she's a week off a trial. So yeah, it's going to be a human interest story as well as racing.
And this one will always be debatable. I think Glenn mentioned earlier who's got the most horses. That Darren Weir's got 50% more horses than Chris Waller. Hariba, I don't think it's his real name. Hariba's text in saying Weir has over 800 horses on his books.
There's been reports of that, yes.
Yeah.
There has been. I mean, in fairness...
It doesn't matter, does it? It
doesn't matter. And he services a lot of different... Like, today he's got a lot of runners at Terang where Chris Waller wouldn't be going to a meeting like Terang. And that's how he structures his business.
He fronts up everywhere, though, doesn't he?
He does, yep. Yep.
Which is just... He's phenomenally busy...
Yeah,
but he tends to be always well. You see him all the time because he's in the winners' enclosure.
That's right.
So good luck to him. He's a hard worker. Harder the work, the luckier you get, Ronnie.
Much like yourself, TK. Mm.
Exactly right.
Mm. Have a great day. Have a good week, Dino. We'll be listening right throughout the week for all your mail.
All right. Good on you, TK.
Dean Lester, always great to chat with him. Ronnie, have a big week.
Yep, I'm off to Hong Kong for the internationals and looking forward to it.
Today or tomorrow?
I'll go this afternoon.
Oh, well done.
Beauty.
Well done. Fly safely, mate. Up, well, that front end.
Yeah.
Turn left.
He doesn't know the other way.
The only blokes that sit closer to the front than Ronnie are two blokes with white shirts and hats on.
Good on you, Ronnie. Have a great trip. You will in Hong Kong, catching up with old mates. And also, Glenn, thanks, mate.
Thanks, TK.
Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Hopefully you find plenty of winners throughout the week.